Nightingale Conant Corporation is pleased to introduce to you The Psychology of Selling. You're about to hear a million-dollar master, Brian Tracy, and he's going to share with you the ideas and approaches used by most of the big moneymakers, the superstars of selling. As a salesman, Brian began setting sales records at age 11. He's rehearsed sales presentations in parking lots, eaten on the run, done his share of cold calling and sitting in unfriendly waiting rooms, and closed those once-in-a-lifetime sales most of us just dream about. There are several reasons why Brian Tracy is the ideal author-narrator of this program, in addition to the fact that he's been in sales himself. He's also been in business for himself, so he understands selling from the other side of the desk. And he's also served many top corporations as a consultant in sales training or as a sales trainer. You know, it's one thing to do it yourself. It's quite another to teach someone else. Brian Tracy has that gift. For instance, he knows there's not only one selling type or one selling personality, but many. He doesn't expect you to fit any preconceived mold he's constructed. Rather, he's constructed his material so it is easily assimilated by anyone in sales. He presents it cafeteria style, so you can choose what will work for you and pass by what won't. Brian Tracy will make this audio cassette learning experience fast, easy, and fun. He's entertaining, and he knows his stuff. His material is aimed at increasing the sale of your product or service, and in dealing with the unique requirements of your industry and the competitive pressures you face. This is the same material many companies pay $5,000 for their people to hear. It is presented live and taken from his seminar on selling. You'll find it fast-moving, high-powered, and idea-packed. And now, here is Brian Tracy.
The most important thing that we have to understand in the world of selling is that nothing happens until a sale takes place. That salespeople are the forerunners of progress and always have been throughout all of history. There is a bias in our society, an almost unspoken bias against salespeople. Many salespeople are embarrassed or even shy about admitting that they're in sales. They think that being in sales is somehow something that you do when you can't get an honest job. Have you ever been to a social engagement or a party and somebody says, "What do you do?" And you say, "Well, I'm in sales." They say, "What would you really like to do?" In our universities, selling is not taught. They teach marketing, and when the fact is that the most successful organizations in the world are all superb selling organizations. They recognize that they have certain products and they have certain services, but they rise or fall on the quality of their sales effort. I think one of the best examples of this is IBM, one of the finest, perhaps the finest corporation in the world, and they put hundreds of millions of dollars a year into training their salespeople because they know they could have the best products in the world, but if their salespeople cannot sell them, they're not going to be successful. They never, never lose their focus on the importance of the selling effort. It's very important for us, in terms of our success, to understand that what we are engaged in is an honorable profession. As a matter of fact, sales is the oldest profession. There are many people who think that something else is the oldest profession, but that's just a subsection of sales. The fact is that we can be proud to be salespeople because it is upon our efforts that the whole economy floats. All the people who hold up their noses at salespeople depend for their existence, depend for their livelihood, depend for their rent and their food on the salespeople. Every government bureaucrat who lives off of tax revenue has to survive because of private sector corporations who have salespeople who earn profits that pay taxes and pay wages and pay everything else. So never, never be shy about saying that you're a salesperson. Salespeople also, I think, are in the most wonderful profession in the world because there is no limit on where you can go in this profession. There's no ceiling on your income. There are, in many cases, there's no floor either, but nonetheless, there's no ceiling. If you are properly trained and skilled and selling the right product in the right market, there is an unlimited amount of money that you can make. And salespeople, professional salespeople, are some of the highest paid people in the world. It's the only field in the world where you can start with very little skill or training coming from any background and in a matter of 3, 6, 9, 12 months be making an outstanding living if you're properly trained to do it. And today we want to give you some tools that will help you be properly trained to do it. I want to start off talking about the psychology of selling, and that brings us to the whole purpose of this seminar. The whole purpose of this seminar is this. We know that with regard to selling, the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, prevails. The 80-20 rule simply says that 80% of the sales are done by 20% of the salespeople. That the top 20% of the salespeople always do 80% of the sales. And the converse of that is also true. That the bottom 80% only do 20% of the sales. Our job is to take everybody in this room, if they are not now in the top 20%, and move them into the top 20% by giving them the tools to do so. Now, if you're already in the top 20%, and I suspect that many of you are, then our job is to get you into the top 20% of the top 20%, which is the top 4%. And there's a very, very good reason why we wanted to get into the top 20% and then subsequently into the top 4%. And it is simply this, is that once you get into the top 20%, you never have to worry about money again. You never have to worry about job security. You never have to worry about employment. The people in the top 20% are some of the highest paid and happiest people in our society. The people in the bottom 80% have to worry all the time. Now, the great tragedy of our society is that the majority of people of whatever trade, profession, or industry spend most of their time worrying about money. Does anybody here worry about money? We all worry about money, don't we? And you know how consuming this is of life, is to worry about money? To be always worried about money, always thinking about money, getting up in the morning and worried about money, thinking all day about money, counting pennies in the evening. On weekends, what we do, we sit and talk to our spouses, our friends, and worry about money. Our job is to get into the top 20% so we don't have to worry about money, and then get into the top 4%, and in the top 4%, we become some of the highest paid people in the world. The statistics on this are very simple. The people in the top 20% on average earn 16 times the average of the people in the bottom 80%. And the people in the top 4% earn 54 times the average of the people in the bottom 20%. This is astonishing. A recent study done by a large American insurance company found that they had individual agents throughout the country who alone were selling and earning more than 40 and 50 trained professional agents of the same company selling the same products to the same people. And we all know that's true. So our job is to get into the top 4%. That's the whole purpose of this course. The second principle is this. It's what is called the winning edge. And the winning edge theory is very important. What it simply says is that the difference between the top performers and the average or mediocre performers is not a great massive difference. It is always just a small difference. It's just a tiny difference on the margin, if you like. They just do certain things a certain way, a little tiny bit better each day, and it adds up to an enormous quantum difference. Probably the best example of it is this. If a horse runs in a horse race and comes in first by a nose, it wins 10 times the prize money of the horse that comes in second by a nose. Now, does it mean that the horse that comes in first by a nose is 10 times better than the horse that comes in second? Does it mean that it's twice as good? Does it mean that it's 50% better or even 10% better? The truth of the matter is that it's only a nose better, but the difference in prize money is enormous. In a study done not long ago, they compared two horses that had run in the same races throughout the first 9 months of the year. They compared their times, and they found that the winning horse, the top horse, had earned over $775,000 in prize money over the first 9 months of the year. Went on to break $1 million, one of the first horses ever to do that. This is some time ago. They found that another horse that had run in the same races in every single case with them, but had not been in the prize money very often, had won about $75,000. There was a difference of over 10 to 1 in their winnings, and they went back and they compared the times. What were the times that they'd run? And they added up all the times, they accumulated the times. You know what they found? That the difference between the horse that had won $775,000, a horse called Ahmed, and the horse that had won $75,000 was about 3% to 4% faster. The winning horse was only 3 to 4% faster in time, but the difference translated into income was 10 times, and later on, by the end of the year, it was up to 15 times the earnings. The person who gets the sale for their company gets 100% of the business and 100% of the commission. The person who does not gets zero. It does not mean that the person that does not is only half as good as the person who gets the sale. It just means that they're a slight tiny bit different. The key to success is to develop that winning edge. If we develop that winning edge, there is no reason why you cannot move very rapidly into the top 4%. And that's very, very important. Now, when we look at this, and many of you who've been through other courses that I give know how adamant I am on what I'm going to talk about now, which is what is the characteristic of successful salespeople. One of the things we know is that there is an inner game of selling. That we have looked at successful salespeople and we've tried to find out what are the characteristics that separate them from poor salespeople, and we find that they cannot be separated on the basis of age, of intelligence, of grade level, of experience. We know that there are people who are young who are more successful than people who are 20 years older. There are people with no experience who are more successful than people with extensive experience. There are people with limited education who sell more in the same industry than people with university degrees. There are people who graduated in the bottom 20% of their class who outsell the people who graduated in the top 20%. So we know that it has nothing to do with those basic things that we would consider to be the factors that contribute to success. We know that it's an inner game. It's what's going on inside the mind of the salesperson that makes all the difference. Harvard University did a study of something like 16,000 salespeople and found that the basic qualities that determine success or failure in selling were psychological qualities holding constant for everything else. And if we develop those psychological qualities, they form the foundation for our sales success. And it's that foundation that enables us to erect a very, very strong edifice. And once you've erected that foundation, once you've got your feet solidly rooted in the ground of your own innermost convictions, once you absolutely know and believe that you are excellent at selling, you can go anywhere in the world and write your own ticket. We also know that we only use a very, very small percentage of our potential for effectiveness in selling. We know that if you are not in the top 4 or 5%, what you should do is compare yourself and your current earnings with the earnings of the person who is making the very most in your industry. The salesperson, whether it's here in this city or in any other city, who's making the very most, that should be the person against which you compare yourself in terms of your potential. Because whoever is earning the most, he or she, is no better and no different than you are. All they are doing is doing different things in a different way. The average person we know is being outsold by the top person. The low performer has been outsold by the top person by as much as 50 to 1. In terms of potential for sales effectiveness, we know that the average person never uses more than 10% of their potential, which means that each one of us has at least 90% or more left untapped. It is unlocking this additional 90% that we move ourselves into the income categories of the high earners. And we also know, and this is the most exciting discovery in psychology in the 20th century, is that there's a direct relationship between the self-concept and sales performance and effectiveness. In fact, there's a direct relationship between your self-concept and your performance and effectiveness in every area of your life. Each one of us has a self-concept, and that each one of us always performs in a manner consistent with it. That we have a self-concept that regulates our life overall, and we have a self-concept that regulates every single area of our life, including our sales life. We have a self-concept, and we can never act in a manner inconsistent with it. Because when we do, we move out of our comfort zone, and we start to feel uncomfortable and uncertain and uneasy. We have a self-concept, for instance, of how we dress. We always dress in a manner consistent with what we feel comfortable with. We have a self-concept of how we drive, a self-concept of how much we eat, a self-concept of how much we weigh. We have a self-concept of how much we earn. We know from extensive studies that we can never earn much more or less than our self-concept level of income. We can never earn in the outside world more than we earn in our own mind. And each one of us has a thermostat, an income thermostat, and if we earn 10% more or less than that income thermostat, we begin to engage immediately in correcting behaviors to get our income back into that range. For instance, if we have a really good week, sometimes a really good 2 weeks at the beginning of the month, what will happen is that we will sell and we will earn far more in that month than we had expected to earn, and we will find it almost impossible to continue selling for the rest of that month. I've run into salespeople who have had a tremendous first week of the month, and after 3 or 4 days of top sales where they've earned twice as much as they expected to earn in the month, they've actually gone home and closed the door and put down the blinds and gone to bed. We know it's characteristic of salespeople that if they feel that they are $30,000 a year people and they earn $30,000 by September or October or earlier, they burn out and they stop selling. And they cannot sell again until the beginning of the year. I had a salesman for one of the television stations come through this course and he said, you know, I set an income goal of $75,000 for this year. He says, I hit it on October 4th. He said, I have not been able to sell anything since. I can hardly wait till January 1st so I can get back to work. We have a mental block inside us that stops us from earning more than we think we're worth. If we want to earn more in reality, we have to upgrade our self-concept. We have to see ourselves and think about ourselves and talk about ourselves and plan and set goals for ourselves that start us to think in terms of higher income categories. We must achieve it in our minds before we ever achieve it in our realities. And this is just simply a fact of life. Also, if we go 10% or more below our self-concept level of income, What happens is we engage in scrambling behavior. Suddenly we start working harder. We work longer hours. We get desperate. Sometimes we look at second income opportunities or part-time jobs to get our income back up into that comfort range. But once it's there, we hold it there and we keep it there comfortably. Our job is to move this self-concept level of income up so that as it moves up, we find ourselves engaging in the behaviors, taking the actions, setting the goals, and actually making the sales and earning the income that is consistent with our new self-concept. We also know that we have a self-concept for what kind of a son we are, what kind of a daughter, what kind of a parent, what kind of a lover, what kind of a husband, what kind of a wife, what kind of a bowler, what kind of a public speaker, what kind of a joke teller, and of course we have a self-concept for how well we sell. We always sell in a manner consistent with our self-concept. If you take selling and you break it down into, say, six categories, prospecting, approaching, presenting, closing, following up, getting referrals, and so on, we find that we have a self-concept that regulates every single area of those sales. Some of us are very uneasy about picking up the phone and calling somebody. Our self-concept is very low in that area, and when we start to call somebody, we feel uncomfortable. We're out of our comfort zone. Some of us feel very uncomfortable about closing. We can tell the person about our product and our service and what we can do and how good it is, but when it comes to the close, we just paralyze. What has happened is our self-concept is very low in that area, and whenever we move out of our comfort zone, we start to feel very, very anxious and uneasy. So what we have to do is we have to strengthen every single area of the self-concept. And the way that we do that is simply this. We become more competent and more skilled in that area. We never feel uneasy doing something that we're good at. We only feel uneasy doing something that we think that we're not particularly capable at. When we're trying to do something new for the first time or something that we've had failure experiences in the past, we become very anxious because we think we're not good at it. And every single step that we take forward and get better doing what we're doing makes us feel more competent, raises our self-concept, and makes us more successful each time we subsequently try it. And we've all had experiences with that, haven't we? We all know when we start off selling, the first few calls that we make, our heart is in our throat, our heart's going boom, 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 and our stomach is churning, we go up to the door, it's almost as if we were, an ogre was going to open the door, an ogre was going to attack us across the desk. Until we made a few calls, we find that we haven't been violently assaulted even once, and that it doesn't hurt, and there's no residual physical pain from the calls, and eventually we develop more confidence, and we relax, and we become more capable. Well, we know that our overall self-concept is made up of the average of our self-concepts in all the areas of our life that we consider important, including our overall self-concept as a salesperson. We know also that the self-concept is subjective, is that the ideas or thoughts that you have about yourself, especially the self-limiting ideas or beliefs, do not exist in reality. Many of us think, well, I don't have the ability to do this, or I'm not very good at that, or I'm not particularly skilled at this or that. In reality, these are not true. But if we believe they're true for us. Some people say, well, I'm terrible at closing. As long as you say you're terrible at closing and believe that you're terrible at closing, I can guarantee you one thing. You're going to be terrible at closing sales. Some people say, I'm terrible on the telephone. I'm very uneasy. I hate to call people up to make appointments. As long as you think that and believe that, every time you pick up the phone, you're going to stumble over your words, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to perform in a poor manner. But almost invariably, if we have self-limiting beliefs, they're based on erroneous information. Sometimes we will take in an experience. We'll have a couple of experiences, we'll assume we're no good at that. And from then on, whenever we are confronted with that, we'll assume we're no good, our self-concept is low in it, we'll perform poorly. We also know that the core of self-concept is self-esteem. Right at the center of our psychological makeup is our self-esteem. And the best definition of self-esteem is how much you like yourself. How much you like yourself. How much you like yourself is the key determinant of your performance and your effectiveness in everything that you do. How much you like yourself determines how well you dress, it determines how well you drive, it determines how well you sell, and it determines every single aspect of selling. A person who really likes themselves has a high, positive self-concept and performs well in that particular area. A person who doesn't like themselves or who feels badly about themselves in a particular area performs poorly in that area. How much you like yourself is the key determinant of your success in sales, the key determinant of your income, and if you take this sales effectiveness and you just call it life effectiveness, how much you like yourself determines your effectiveness and your success in life. It's the most critical single barometer or indicator of your success, achievement, enjoyment, satisfaction in life is how much you like yourself. How much you like yourself overall and how much you like yourself in each individual area. Earl Nightingale said, "You become what you think about." We know that if we repeat over and over to ourselves, "I like myself, I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. If we repeat that over and over to ourselves, we find that every single time we say, I like myself, our self-concept goes up. Every time our self-concept goes up, our ability to perform in every area of our life goes up simultaneously. When you say, I like myself, it's like putting a flame to the ball of the mercury thermometer of your self-concept. The more you like yourself, the better you perform in everything that you do. Let me ask you a simple question to prove that this is true. When is the best time to make a sale? Old saying. Always, it's right after making a sale. Isn't that true? Why is that? From what we've just said. Of course, because we like ourselves more as a salesperson immediately after having made a sale than any other time. And because we like ourselves more, we are more effective at selling at that moment than any other time. We find that if you have a difficult customer to call on, and you've been calling on them several times and going nowhere, when you close a sale somewhere else, immediately get in your car and drive across town and walk in on that customer and try to sell them again, you will be more effective, you will be more persuasive, you will be more confident at that moment than at any other time. And it will not be the customer that has changed, not the product or service, not the price, not the market, not the competition. The only thing that has changed is you. One of the things that we know in sales is that success breeds success. The more you sell, the better you become at selling because your self-concept goes higher and higher and higher. Finally, you reach the point where you know that nothing can stop you. You know that absolutely nothing can stop you. If you do it long enough and hard enough until you begin to enjoy success experiences, your self-concept gets up to the point where you know that you can make your living in sales wherever you go. Isn't that true? And we know when we're flying, when we're feeling really great about ourselves, when we really like ourselves, we know that we can do well at anything we put our hand to. Not only that, when we're selling well, our interpersonal relationships go well, we need less sleep, we have more energy, we have more enthusiasm, we feel more positive about ourselves. Isn't that true? So the key is, before every sales call, stop and take a couple of seconds and say to yourself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. It's like pumping yourself up, like a pumping up a tire. Psych yourself up, say, I like myself, I like myself. This is going to be a great call, it's going to be a great call, it's going to be a great day. Talk to yourself, because whatever you say to yourself with feeling, whatever you say to yourself with emotion is accepted by the subconscious as an instruction, and the subconscious will give you the words and actions and feelings consistent with what you've said to yourself. So when you say, I like myself, this is going to be a great call, I am a great salesman. When you say things like that to yourself, the subconscious accepts it as a fact and gives you the words, the feelings, the gestures, the body language consistent with a person who is excellent at what they do. And it gives you more confidence, it makes you more relaxed, and of course it has a very strong impact on the person that you're talking to. Now there's another reason why high self-esteem is vital in selling, and it's simply this, is that there are two major obstacles to closing any sale, and they are both psychological obstacles. Once we've dealt with the material obstacles, the psychological obstacles are the major blocks, and they are these. First of all is the fear of failure. The fear of failure, which is a deep, ingrown, subconscious fear that we all have, the fear of failure in the mind of the customer or the prospect is the greatest single obstacle to purchasing. In other words, the fear that they may be paying too much, the fear they may be buying the wrong product, the fear they may be making a mistake, the fear they may be criticized, the fear that they will be disappointed with the product once they get it, the fear that the service will not be sufficient to sustain the product. The fear of making a mistake, of failing, holds people back more than any other single fear in life. Every one of us has bought something that didn't work out. Every one of us has bought hundreds of things over the course of our adult lifetimes that didn't work out. So we have an inbred, conditioned resistance to buying things because of the possibility they might not work out. We know that that is the case. We also know that the second major fear or obstacle to selling is the fear of rejection on the part of the salesperson. The fear of rejection on the part of the salesperson is the fear that the other person might say no. Now, since 80% of all sales calls end in a no, because people simply do not need the product, do not want it, cannot use it, cannot afford it, or some other reason, if we're in sales and we fear rejection, we've picked an interesting way to make a living. Isn't that true? Because we're going to get a lot of rejection. As a matter of fact, most people cannot stand the rejection that they get in selling. In any sales field, we find that there's one-third of the people in that field are coming into it new each year, one-third are leaving each year, and only one-third stay. There's tremendous turnover in sales, and the greatest dropout in any sales profession is the first 90 days. Because until a person develops competence and confidence and a high self-concept and product knowledge and sufficient resilience to bounce back from the inevitable rejection, they cannot sell successfully. The lack of success lowers the self-concept and lowers the self-concept, and finally people just drop out because they simply can't take the rejection. If there were not for the fear of rejection, we would all be terrific salespeople. If not for the fear of rejection, we'd be outstanding salespeople. As a matter of fact, a study at Columbia University a few years ago concluded that the average salesperson sells approximately 1.5 hours per day, and that the average sales call is not made before 11 a.m. in the morning. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think they put off making that call until 11 a.m.? Well, of course, fear of rejection. Exactly. They fear rejection. And I can prove that this is true. It's very simple. Imagine that your company had hired a marketing research firm. And this marketing research firm had developed a very, very sophisticated way of identifying ideal prospects. And it could give you a computer printout of 50 prospects that would be literally guaranteed, 9 out of 10, to buy in a given 24-hour period. And they could give you that list. But the list was so precise that it was only valid from Wednesday midnight to Thursday midnight. And you had this list and you had 24 hours to work on it. Let me ask you a question. If you believed in the quality of this list, what time would you start in the morning? 6 o'clock? You'd start as soon as you possibly could. Would you have time for coffee breaks? Would you have time for lunch? If you could call on people right up to midnight and you just made your last call and it was 11:45 and there was one more person you could call on, would you quit or would you make one more call? In other words, if you had no fear of rejection, if you were guaranteed a high level of success, you would be calling on customers every single waking moment. This is one of the great secrets of success, is that all outstanding salespeople have reached the point where they no longer fear rejection. They've built their self-esteem and their self-concept up to the point where if somebody says no to them, it does not hurt them, it does not put them off, it does not send them dejected back to their office or to their car. Now, there's one other statistic which is very interesting, actually two. It is that 80% of all sales are closed after the fifth closing attempt. In other words, the fifth time that we ask the person to make a buying decision is when 80% of all sales are closed. In a recent study, they found that 48% of all sales calls ended without the salesperson trying to close once. Do you know what we do? We go in and we very enthusiastically tell the person what our product or service is, and we show them our information, we dazzle them with our literature and our footwork, and then when the person has been completely overwhelmed with our charm and our enthusiasm and our verbal agility, we then take a deep breath and we sit back and we say, well, what do you think? Isn't that right? Well, what do you think? And you know what they say? Well, I'd like to think it over. I'd like to talk it over with my boss, husband, cousin, uncle, brother, sister, partner, board of directors, banker, accountant, whatever it happens to be. Could you call back on me later? One of the great secrets of success in sales is to understand that people don't think it over. And the instant you walk out of that door, they have forgotten you ever lived. Have you ever gone back to see a person a week later after you thought you had a fantastic conversation and they were thinking it over? Now, we go out and we have the vanity to believe that this person goes home and for 24 hours a day, he just thinks about our product. He just turns it over in his mind. He talks it over with everybody and he goes to sleep at night. The last thing he thinks about is our product. When he wakes up, we walk back in on him a week later and we know that by this time he is so keen to see us and to buy our product and he can't even remember our name. He doesn't remember who we are or what we sell or anything. You ever had this happen? You left all your best information there? People don't think it over. When they say to you, let me think it over, what you have done is you just simply ended the interview and you've, if you like, ended your possibility of selling. There's one other statistic very recently. When trying to change a person from one supplier to another, we find that, again, 80% or more of all first purchases from a new supplier take place after the fifth call, and that only 10% of salespeople make more than 5 calls. 50% or more of salespeople only make 1 call. So when you're selling to a company and you want to become established as their supplier, remember that it usually takes 5 visits. I'm not talking about 5 hours, I'm just talking about 5 visits. Going in, seeing them, talking to them, telling them you're available, you have the products or services, usually after the fifth visit that people start to become interested. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is simply this, is that there is a direct inverse relationship between the fear of rejection and high self-esteem. That the more you like yourself, the less you fear rejection. It's almost as though they are escalators that go in different directions. And one escalator is the up escalator to high self-esteem, and the other is the down escalator to the fears of failure and the fears of rejection. And that the more you like yourself and the higher your self-esteem, the faster you go down the reverse escalator, the lower your fears of failure, the lower your fears of rejection. The first thing that we have to learn is when a person says no to us, they're not saying no to us as persons, they're simply saying no to our offering, or no to our presentation, or no to our prices, or no to whatever it is that we do. That the rejection is not personal. Once we understand that, and we understand that people say no to us automatically, and they say no to us for 1,000 reasons that we cannot understand, that they are not rejecting us as persons. The big mistake that we make is if we hear too many no's, what happens? We start thinking that it's us that is being told no to. And since it's so depressing to be told no, to be rejected continually, what we do is we stop making calls. We start cutting back our calls to an hour, hour and a half a day, and this is how we do it. We get up in the morning, we say, well, I got to get out today, I got to make a living. But first of all, I've got to go and shuffle my business cards. And I've got to go and check in the office, see if there's been any phone calls. All those people thinking over my proposition, maybe they've called in and ordered some. And we go into the office, and we've got to have a little bit of coffee. I mean, you've got to wake yourself up in the morning. You can't just start off without some coffee. And you've got to chat with other people, get your jaw warmed up, and sort of get loosened up. So we go do this, and we spin our wheels until about 10:30, and we say, well, geez, it's almost lunchtime. I better go out and call on somebody. So we rush out and we call on somebody. The call's over between 11:30, and we say, well, we can't call on anybody now because everybody's going for lunch, right? And you don't want to interrupt people when they're going for lunch. Everybody goes for lunch at 11:30. So we go and we kill time. 12:30, 1:30 comes, and you don't want to call on people immediately after they get back from lunch. I mean, that'd give them indigestion, wouldn't it? They've got work to do. So we don't make our next call till 2, 2:30, 3 o'clock. We make a couple of calls, and now it's 3:30, 4 o'clock, and of course, everybody's on their way home, aren't they? Nobody's in the office after 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and besides, they don't want us to bother them that time. So we go back to the office and we say, boy, oh boy, what a day, no luck. Do you ever hear the story of the two guys that go back to the office at the end of a sales day, and one says, boy, did I have a lot of good interviews today. And the other one says, yeah, I didn't sell anything either. You see, the reason why we put off making these calls, and you've all done this, tell me that you have. You've all done this, where you make one call at one end of town, and you make your second call in the afternoon at the other end of town, right? So that you've got a nice solid hour of driving in between to put off. It's almost like going into combat every time you keep putting it off. Well, the reason that we do that is that we fear failure, and we fear rejection. And every single thing that we do to raise our own self-esteem, positive self-talk, positive motivation, positive enthusiasm, individual training, every single thing that we do to raise our level of self-esteem raises our sales effectiveness. We know that from all of our studies, there is a direct one-to-one relationship between self-esteem and sales earnings. That the more you like yourself, the better you will do in this field. And that if you become a perpetual self-esteem generating organism, that that alone will contribute more to your income than any other thing. Now let me tell you why that's true. In sales, one of the things that we know is that all successful sales are based on one factor, and it's usually friendship. It's what is called the friendship factor in selling. The friendship factor in selling simply says this, is that a person will not buy from you until they are genuinely convinced that you are their friend and you are acting in their best interests. In other words, the very first thing that we have to do in a sales interview is make a friend. If you like, win a customer. And by making a friend, we then are in a position to begin to offer our product or service. We know that the best definition of healthy personality is this, is that you have a healthy personality to the degree to which you can get along with the greatest number of different types of people. And you have an unhealthy personality to the degree to which you can get along with very, very few people. And if you take the range of personalities across a spectrum from the most introverted to the most extroverted, we find that the person who has a really healthy personality can get along with a great number of people right across the range. But we also find that you could superimpose another graph on here, and that's the graph of self-esteem. And we find that there is a direct relationship between your level of self-esteem and how well you get along with different people. As a matter of fact, you could draw the graph in such a way so that the higher you go on the graph of self-esteem, the greatest number of people you get along with. And the lower you go on the graph of self-esteem, the fewer the number of people that you get along with, And when you are really down on yourself and you really don't like yourself at all, you can only get along with a very few people, and then only people of average personality and temperament. The individual who really likes themselves is the one who has the greatest facility for making friends wherever they go. And we will not buy from people we don't like, and we will not be able to sell to people that we don't like. Isn't that true? Have you ever had an experience where somebody's come to sell you something, and even if you wanted the product and you didn't like the person, you would not buy the product from that person? We know, and just think of your very best customers today, the people who you enjoy selling to and the people who enjoy buying from you the most, you'll find invariably it's the people that you like the best and who like you the best. Isn't that true? So everything that we do to improve our level of self-esteem increases and enhances the quality of our relationship with our customers and increases the amount of money that we earn. The very best salespeople have a natural facility or ability to make friends easily with prospective customers. The very worst salespeople have the most difficult time of all. And the wonderful thing is, there's a direct relationship between how much you like yourself and how well you get along with other people. And everything that you do to build up your own self-esteem translates into higher quality relationships, multiplies the friendship factor, and makes you a more successful salesperson. Everything that happens to lower your self-esteem, if your unsuccessful experiences, being ill or for whatever reason, arguments with your boss or with your wife or your husband, will lower your self-esteem and lower your effectiveness. And when you're feeling really negative about yourself, you notice you can't sell at all, can you? You just simply cannot connect with anybody. And of course, if you keep on trying, it just makes you feel worse and worse. And finally, one last point, it is this, is that the key element in selling is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm accounts for 51% or more of all sales closing ability. As a matter of fact, one of the finest definitions of a sale is simply this. It is a transfer of enthusiasm. It is a transfer of your enthusiasm about the product or service into the mind and the heart of the other person. It is a transfer of your emotional commitment and belief in that product into the mind of the other person. And there's a one-to-one relationship between how much you like yourself, your self-esteem, and how enthusiastic you are. Can you imagine being enthusiastic and not liking yourself? Can you imagine the two coexisting? So the more you like yourself, the more enthusiastic you are about yourself and about your product, the easier it is for you to sell. So everything that we do to raise our self-esteem increases our ability to sell. And one of the things that we do to raise our self-esteem is that we back our sales efforts with willpower and determination. Now this is very important, it's critical. Because every single time we have what we call a winning experience, where we feel like a winner, every single time we close a sale and we feel like we have won, our self-esteem goes up, our self-concept goes up, and our ability to perform and our effectiveness goes up in every area of our life. The reason why so many people fail in sales is simply this, is they do not stay at it long enough and hard enough to get those first few winning experiences that raise their self-esteem and self-concept and set them off to a successful career in selling. They only stay at it long enough to have their self-concept beaten right into the ground and then they quit. That's why it's so important at the very beginning, when you get into selling or at any single stage in selling, you say to yourself that no matter what happens, I will never, never, never give up. I will never stop pushing forward. I will never quit. I will keep on keeping on every single day, every single hour. That nothing is going to make me stop until I am successful. Making that decision alone causes your self-esteem to go up. It gives you a tremendous feeling inside that nothing can stop you. And every single top salesperson that I know, and I work with sales organizations and salespeople that earn as much as $500,000 a year in commission industries, every single salesperson that I know who is in those levels has made the decision very early in their life that they like themselves and they like selling. That they do not fear rejection because they recognize that rejection is not personal, it's just a reaction of someone else. And finally, they've made the decision that they are going to be successful in their field and that nothing is going to stop them until they are. Those three decisions, you make those early in your career and nothing can stop you. Nothing can keep you out of the big money because those three will lead you to getting the skills and the abilities necessary to be successful in selling. Let's go on and talk about developing a powerful sales personality. We know that personality is more important than product knowledge, it's more important than skills, it's more important than the product, that there are people who are selling well with a highly competitive product in a depressed market, there are people who are selling poorly by an exclusive product in a buoyant market, and we know that almost all of it has to do with personality. The characteristics of the psychological makeup of the superior salesman are about 8 or 9 qualities. Number one, they have high levels of self-confidence and self-esteem. Without self-confidence, it's impossible to be successful in selling. And let me tell you just one more thing about that, is that the more you like yourself, the more you like others. The more you like others, the more confidence they have in you. We always feel better about the recommendations of someone who we feel likes us than we do about the recommendations of somebody whom we're not sure about. We always choose to buy from people who we feel like us and care about us, and the more you like yourself and care about yourself, the more successful you'll be in your relationships with others. Number two is that the high-performing salesperson accepts 100% responsibility for their results. In a study done in New York some years ago, they found a very interesting thing. They found the top 3% in every sales field looked upon themselves as self-employed. I ask this question many times in courses. I say, is there anybody here who is self-employed? And I find some people put up their hands and some people don't. And then I stop and I say, the biggest mistake that we can ever make in our lives is to ever think that we work for anybody but ourselves. Because we are always self-employed. We are personal services corporations, and we just simply sell our services to other people. If we have our own business, then of course we have even more control, but we are always self-employed. I am always astonished when people say, well, I won't take that training unless my company sends me to it. They don't realize that it is their company, that every single bit of training that they take, every book that they read, every single thing they learn is an investment in themselves that makes themselves more valuable. So always accept ourselves as self-employed. And look upon every single thing that we accomplish or don't accomplish as our own responsibility. John T. Malloy, in his book Live for Success, said the two characteristics that determine the difference between winners and losers are simply these, is that winners always accept full responsibility for everything that happens to them. He says losers never do. He says losers always make excuses. I think it was somebody said that the disease of excusitis, the inflammation of the excuse-making gland, is invariably fatal to success. And you can tell the winners because the winners are always looking for a way to deal with the challenges that they're facing, and the losers are always making excuses for it to avoid dealing with it. And the second requirement that Malloy identified was that winners work damn hard. He says winners always work far harder than losers. Losers intend to work hard, and they say that they work hard, and they even complain about how hard they work, but they don't really work very hard at all. When they follow them around, they find they work at about 30 to 40% effectiveness, if that. But winners get there early, they work late, they work through their lunch hours, they work through their coffee breaks, they work in the evenings, they study on the weekends, they take extra courses. Winners are absolutely determined to win, and they are willing to pay the price. Losers do not understand that, or if you like, never learn it. Number three, the top salesperson has above average ambition and desire to sell. We know that it is impossible, and this is the Harvard study, by the way, ambition and desire seem to underlie all success in selling. They have the intense desire. They want to win. They want to be successful. They have a burning commitment to be successful, and they will not let anything put them off. The unsuccessful people say, well, if I can make enough to pay my bills, that'll be all right. If I can just earn enough to get through this month, if I can just get one sale, that'll be fine. A study done by another insurance company in the East not long ago, they found an interesting thing. They found that every year they had a contest in November. At the contest in November, the people who won got 2 weeks in the Caribbean as a bonus. And everybody who qualified, you could do just a certain quota that you had to get to. And the quota was about 35 to 40% above the average for the year. Every year in November, salespeople really, really went out and blew their brains out, and a tremendous number of them qualified for that 2 weeks in the sun. They went back and they studied and they found a very interesting thing, that the average salesperson was selling 3 policies a week. And that in the contest period, they simply increased it to 4 policies a week. And they went back and they talked to many of these salespeople, and they pointed out that if they made just a little bit of extra effort, they could be in that prize-winning category all year long instead of just in November. And that this translated over a 40-year career. Say you started selling when you were 25 and you sold till you were 65. It translated, one extra sale a week translated into 10 extra years of income. 10 extra years of income by selling one more sale a week over the 3 that they were doing. Absolutely staggering, isn't it? In other words, you would have an extra 10 years of income, but you would have it now rather than then, which is where we want it. So the ambition, the desire to sell is very important. Sometimes people come up to me and say, I have no ambition. I say to them, I'm very, very sorry, because there's no hope for you if you have no ambition. You don't have any ambition. There's nothing that anybody can do for you. I say some people have to be followers and some people have to be leaders, and I guess you were born to be a follower. But ambition is absolutely critical. Well, number four, high levels of empathy, and they really care about their customers. These two, ambition and empathy, are the two keys to sales success. By empathy, we mean that we care about our customers and we would never sell them something that we felt was not good for them. There are many salespeople who will sell under any terms or in any circumstances, but they never last. The truly successful salespeople are the ones who feel that they will be dealing with this customer 20 years from now, and every single thing they do with this customer today, they're going to have to live with for the rest of their sales careers. The others look upon every sales transaction as make it and get out. So high levels of empathy go hand in hand with high levels of ambition. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because customers are smarter today than they've ever been in the history of the world, and they can see through us like through saran wrap. If we are not seriously concerned about their well-being, they pick it up instantly. They don't have to think about it. They know immediately when the salesman is selling for himself or when the salesman is genuinely concerned about his or her best interest. That's why genuine levels of empathy as opposed to false levels of empathy are absolutely essential for success. The successful salesperson is intensely goal-oriented. We know that every single study done at every single university, the most successful men and women are very, very intensely goal-oriented. They know how much they're going to earn each week, each month, each quarter, each 6 months, and each year. They know how many calls that they have to make, and not only that, they know what they're going to do with the money. We're going to do a brief goal-setting exercise in just a second, but it's absolutely essential that you know exactly how much you intend to earn this year. If you don't know that, it's like trying to shoot at a target in the fog. Even if you are the finest marksman in the world, you're not going to hit a target in the fog. You've got to know exactly what you're aiming at. And number six, they have above average willpower and determination to succeed and to keep on keeping on in the face of disappointments. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing to pay the price of success in advance. One of the things that we find is that a truly honest person realizes that there is no such thing as something for nothing. There's no easy way to be successful. There's only the hard ways. And we have a lot of stories in our society about people who stumbled into some career and made a lot of money quickly. And these stories pollute people's minds. The reason why we hear those stories is because they're so rare. The only way, and the longitudinal studies, a 20-year study out of New York recently indicated that most people make their maximum earnings sometimes after their 40th year. And that every single person who achieved long-term wealth and success in this study, and they followed over 1,500 people for 20 years, achieved it doing their job extremely well, working hard, going the extra mile, putting in the little bit of extra time and effort. Nobody ever made money quick. I think that's the worst myth that exists in our society is that there's a fast, easy way to make money. There isn't any. And chasing the will-o'-the-wisp of the quick buck is the surest way to destroy your character and to destroy your career. I've seen lots of people who made a lot of money during the booms. And where are they now? Where are they now? They're all gone. The ones who made a whole lot of money in a hurry, what they did is because their self-concept did not adjust to the level of income, they went through it. The great tragedy is that many of these people will spend the rest of their life trying to find another quick, easy way to make money. And they'll never realize that money doesn't come quickly and easily. It comes only with persistent, hard work continuously over an extended period of time. So there's no easy way to become successful. Another characteristic is the top of the psychological makeup of the salesperson. They believe in themselves. They believe in their product. They believe in their company. And they believe in the value of your product to your customer. This is so important. We know that you can never get your customer to believe in your product any more than you do. If you don't believe in it, your customer can't believe it. It's almost like you have to fill up your own cup of belief as high as the customer's cup of belief has to be filled before he'll purchase it. This is why it's so important that we sell something we believe in. Everybody here has had the experience of selling something they didn't particularly think was great. You'd have very much success selling it? No. If you cannot put your whole heart into what you're selling, you can never be successful. I have many people come up to me in courses and they say, you know, I don't really like this product, but I really want to be successful at selling it. I say that the one excludes the other. That you cannot possibly be successful unless you love it. The competition is too great out there. You cannot just even be lukewarm about your product. You have to believe that your product is absolutely excellent and that your customer can really, really benefit from using your product or service. If you don't believe that deep down in your heart, you'll very seldom have the conviction to be able to convey it. And you just look at the top salespeople. The top salespeople love what they're selling. They believe in it passionately. They all defend it. They'll talk about it at night. They go to bed at night thinking about their product, and they wake up in the morning, they can hardly wait to talk to people about it. Look at the top salespeople from the most professional companies, the IBMs, the Xerox, the Hewlett-Packards, and you'll find that these people are literally fanatical about their product. That's why they're so successful at selling so much of it. Another characteristic, psychological characteristic, is that the top-selling salesperson is always impeccably honest with himself and with other people. There is no substitute for a high level of honesty. We have to be perfectly honest with ourselves in terms of the amount of work we do and the type of rewards that we want to enjoy, and perfectly honest with our customers. They say that the average person today is built like a human lie detector. The average person today can pick up insincerity or falsehood across a crowded room. All of us can. The worst fool in the world is the one who tries to fool somebody else. And that's why we have to be very, very honest and never say or do anything with regard to our product that's not true. And finally, we come back to that original characteristic. The top salesperson has an easy ability to turn strangers into friends wherever he goes. Because when you genuinely like and accept yourself, you genuinely like and accept others. If you feel down on yourself, you won't like others. There is a one-to-one relationship, one of the most important relationships of all with self-esteem, is you can never like or love anybody else more than you like or love yourself. And you can never expect anybody else to like or love you more than you like or love yourself. How much you feel for yourself is the single most important determinant of the quality of all your relationships with other people, both personal and business-wise. All right, so how do we become this person? How do we fulfill this dynamic psychological profile of the successful salesperson? Number one is choosing the right product. Nothing is more important than choosing the right product or service. Second to that, of course, is choosing the right people to work with and to work for. It's absolutely critical. But choosing the right product or service, and I'd just like to say one point on this, which I learned 20 years ago, and I never forgot it, is that some people are capable of selling tangible products, and some people are capable of selling intangible products. Now, tangible products are products that you can touch and taste and feel and hold and demonstrate and try out. Intangible products are products that are basically ideas. For instance, real estate in many ways is an idea. Investments are an idea. Insurance is an idea. Educational products are ideas. If you are constructed so that you like things, that you like tangible products, you will never be successful selling intangible products. If you are constructed so that you like intangible products, you'll never be successful selling tangibles. And the best way to find out about this is ask yourself, are you interested in concrete things and facts? Or does the world of ideas interest you? Do you have a philosophic bent in your mind? Are you interested in psychology and philosophy and metaphysics? If you're interested or your interest is drawn by those sort of things, you're best selling intangibles. If you're interested in harder things, if you're interested in houses and cars and trips and clothes and material things, then you're best selling tangibles. If ever you get into a field where you're selling one and you're not feeling comfortable about it, they try to sell it and they just can't get their heart in it, no matter how hard they work, they know it's a good product, they know it's a good company, but they simply can't get into it, it's usually because you're selling out of your own category. Remember, we always sell consistent with our basic values. And some of us have tangible values and some of us have intangible values. Neither is good nor better than the other. It's just that we are different. The next thing is you must believe sincerely in your product. As we said earlier, you must love your product. You can never be successful if you don't believe in it absolutely, if you don't believe that it's a great product. And number three, as we referred to before, the transfer of enthusiasm. The more you believe in your product, the more excited you are about your product, the more enthusiastic you can become about it, the more easily it is for you to transfer that enthusiasm to the mind of your customer. So we talk about goal orientation. How do we become really, really intensely goal-oriented? How do we develop a strong, burning head of steam and desire that keeps us highly motivated from morning to night? And the only way to do that is to plan your working day and your working week very, very carefully so that you have very specific goals for every single month, every single week, every single day. I ask you to fill them out one at a time. What is your annual income goal for this year? What is your annual income goal? Does everybody got that figure? Does everybody know what it is? You should please write it in. Write in your annual income figure, write in a realistic and challenging figure, but if you don't know how much you want to earn this year, how are you going to do it? It's absolutely essential. I guarantee you, every top salesperson in every field knows exactly what they're going to earn this year. You can ask them, they can tell you within a dollar what it's going to be. Every low-performing salesperson has no idea. They're going to wait till the end of the year and see what happened. Don't be afraid to write it down. Some people are afraid to write it down. They say, what if I don't make it? So what? It's still better to have a destination, to have a specific goal, than to have no idea at all. Second of all, ask yourself, how much are you going to have to sell? What will be your annual sales volume that will be required for you to earn that amount of money? What's the total product value you're going to have to sell? A third is, now what is your monthly income goal? How much do you have to earn each month in order to achieve the annual goal? It's dividing it by 12. What is your monthly sales volume that's required in order to achieve that monthly goal? What is your weekly income goal? What's your weekly sales volume required? And then finally, what's your daily income goal? And what's your daily sales volume required? Once we've broken it down that fine, then we go to the final question. How many calls do you have to make each day in order to achieve your daily, weekly, monthly, annual goals? Now, when you are in sales, the most successful way to set sales goals is to define your goals in terms of the activities that you will have to engage in order to achieve that income level. The activities are always the number of calls, the number of follow-ups, the number of deliveries, the number of presentations. Define it in terms of activities, and then begin where you are right now, first thing in the morning, and start doing everything a step at a time. So let us say that you have to make 9 calls per day in order to achieve, based on your experience, your sales volume for the day, the week, the month, and so on. Then make a game with yourself and commit yourself to making those 9 calls by noon. Just get out and do it. You're gonna have to make 9 calls, then do it by noon. Get on the phone at 8 o'clock or 8:30, or get out, and if you're cold calling, get out and make those 9 calls by 12 o'clock. You can do it if you really force yourself. It may take you until 2 or 3 o'clock. But if you keep doing that and keep engaging in those activities every single day, then you must be successful. Now, some weeks you won't sell anything, and some weeks you'll sell 2 or 3 times as much as you would normally expect. At the end of the year, lo and behold, you'll be at your sales goals. In many cases, by the way, when you start setting goals for the year and start working toward them systematically, you'll hit them in 6 months. Some people have hit their goals in 3 months. They've been absolutely staggered. They never set goals before, but they worked for years selling a particular product in a certain market. The first year they start setting goals and making plans and working day to day on their plans, suddenly they achieve their year's goals in 3 months. They cannot believe it. We don't know why it is, but we do know one thing, is that when you set a goal, you program it into the subconscious. Once you've programmed it into the subconscious takes on a power of its own and starts moving you rapidly toward this goal. There's a series of things that the subconscious mind does. Keeping your eyes alert for opportunities, bringing you the right ideas in the middle of a sales conversation, keeping you on the alert for different nuances that the person is saying. The subconscious is reading your prospect's face and giving you the feelings and ideas of what to say. Everybody's had the experience of being in a sales presentation where they simply couldn't say a wrong thing. Have you ever had that? The sales presentation was as smooth as cream. You said, geez, if it was like this all the time, I could make a fortune, right? What it was, if you'll notice, that you were perfectly programmed, you were completely at ease, you were completely prepared, you felt excellent about yourself, and your subconscious mind just gave you exactly the right words and gestures. You just seemed to say the right things at the right juncture. And later on, you found, coincidentally, that when you had mentioned fishing, it just so happened that the customer was more interested in fishing than anything else. Or you had mentioned service and follow-up, that was his primary concern, and that was exactly what he wanted to know. You ever had that experience? The subconscious will do that for you. It'll sort it out. You can use this extra 90% reserve potential stored in the subconscious if you just program it. And the way you program it is by programming in your goals and knowing very, very clearly how much you want to earn and what you have to do to achieve it. Set personal and family goals. The reasons why are the rewards for your efforts. Make a very clear list of all the things that you want to do as a result of being successful in selling. Now, we know that if you have 1 or 2 things that you want to accomplish as a result of reaching your monthly quota, you'll have a little motivation. If you have 10 or 15 things you want to accomplish, you'll be more motivated. If you've got 100 things you want to accomplish as a result of being successful in selling, you will become unstoppable. If we talk about closing sales, let me ask you this question. Who is going to be more difficult to put off? The person who has 1 or 2 reasons for closing the sale, or the person who has 100 reasons for closing the sale? The more reasons you give yourself, the more subconscious, psychological strength you give yourself in a selling situation. If you write down, and most people that I know who are successful in selling keep a spiral notebook, and in that spiral notebook they write down every goal they want to accomplish, whether it's a car, a house, a trip, whether it's a home computer or new clothes or jewelry, or whether it's travel or savings account or investments or RSPs, every single time they think of something that they would like to own or they see somebody with something they admire, they immediately say, that's for me. They put no limitations at all on their ability to accomplish anything, and they write it down as a goal. And I've seen people with 600, 700, 800, 900 goals that they want to accomplish, and they are so motivated, they are so impossible to deter, that they go on and they make $200,000 and $300,000 and $400,000 and $500,000 a year in fields competitive fields where the average person is making less than $10,000. Visualization. With regard to programming the subconscious mind, there is no more powerful way than to create a clear mental picture of the person that you want to be and of the goals that you want to accomplish. The power of visualization, I think, is the most awesome power that we as human beings have. And by visualization, I mean you must see yourself as successful, see yourself as confident, see yourself as competent, see yourself as a good closer, see yourself as relaxed in every sales situation, see yourself enjoying the rewards of success in selling, see your prospects responding to you positively and enthusiastically when you're talking to them. Program this into the subconscious. The subconscious is activated by pictures and by strong affirmative statements. I like myself and I am a great salesman. I was talking to the president of a manufacturing firm in Wisconsin just last year, and he was talking about a salesman had joined the company, and the salesman, they were not sure whether or not he was going to do very well, but within 6 months, he was the top salesman for the company in the whole country. And they asked him, how is it you went in less than 6 months in this field, he'd never sold in this industry before, and you became the top against people who've been in it for 10 or 15 years with established clientele and everything. He said, I describe it to just one thing that I do every day. He said, when I get in my car, I drive along on my way to my first call, and I just say over and over, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best salesman in this company. I'm the best salesman in this industry. I'm the best. And he just keeps saying that over and over again in this country, in this company, in this industry. And he says, and before I go into every sales call, I sit out there in the car, I say, I'm the best, I am the best, I am the very, very best, I am the best in this business, I am an outstanding salesperson. And then he says he gets a clear mental picture of himself, relaxed and confident and calm and self-assured and cool. And he sees the prospect responding to him positively, confidently. He gets that mental picture, and when he goes in, he just exudes confidence. He's just relaxed. And he went from zero to the top in the country in 6 months. I only mention this as a story because it's true. But the other thing is that all top salespeople do it, and all poor salespeople do not. Poor salespeople primarily, you know how they sell? They walk into the prospect's place of business, and they say whatever falls out of their mouth. They don't think about it in the car. In the car, they listen to that music that's pounding in their ears, and when they get there, they walk into the place, and the first thing they say is the first thing that falls out of their mouth. And when they get an opportunity to see a prospect again, they say the first thing that falls out of their mouth. 95% of salespeople wing it. Now let me ask you a question. If you wanted to compete in a sports event, competition level, would you ever think of going into that sports event without warming up? Would you just think of getting out of your car and going straight into competition? Not in a thousand years, would you? When we go into selling in a highly competitive industry, we need to go through mental warm-up too. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to rev ourselves up psychologically. We need to say, I like myself. I like myself. I'm good. I'm the best. I'm a great salesman. I'm going to have a great day today. This is going to be a great call. It's going to be a great presentation. And we need to see ourselves as successful. We need to just be so excited. So when we go in there, what happens is we just have a totally different attitude about us. And remember, how we feel about ourselves comes off us in electromagnetic waves and affects everybody around us. It affects them in either a negative or a positive way. If we feel great about ourselves, you'll find people just brighten up and smile when you walk in. And if you feel negative or unsure about yourself when you walk in, people go, oh, geez. You've all had this experience, haven't you? When you feel great about yourself, things seem to go smoothly. And when you feel poor about yourself, you seem to have more and more problems. So it's very, very important that we prepare ourselves psychologically. And visualization is the very best way to do it. See yourself as the best in your field. See yourself as the very best in your industry. See yourself as a top money earner. See yourself in the top 5% in sales. Whenever you see somebody who's really making a lot of money, you say, I'm going to be like that, and I'm going to be better. I'm going to do even higher. You see a person driving a brand new Mercedes, you look at that, and you say, that's for me. That's where I'm going. That's the direction I'm going in. You keep thinking that, and by some remarkable gravitational power, it starts to act as a directional force, and you start going in the direction of your predominant thoughts. Well, number 7 is confidently expect to succeed every minute of every day. Nothing more powerful than an attitude of confident expectation. We know that the very best salespeople confidently expect to be successful. They have this attitude of confident expectation. They're unshakable. Anybody who's ever been sold by a really professional salesperson, you notice that they're very low-keyed, they're very calm, they're very relaxed, and they have absolute confidence. And the more confident they are, the more uneasy we become. You ever had this experience where we go in to buy something and the salesman comes up, is very friendly, they're always very polite, they're very low-key, they're very interested in what it is that we need or require. They ask a lot of questions. And at a certain point in the sales conversation, after you've given all the usual things that other people give you, well, I can't really afford it, and I'm just looking around today, and I'm not really in the market, and I'd have to check this with somebody else, and you give all these different things, and the person says, yes, I understand. It just goes on talking. And at a certain point, you get that sinking feeling that you're in trouble. Oh, geez. And now you know when you're really in trouble when you start thinking, how cheap can I get out of this? How little can I spend and still get out of this? And when you've made the purchase, you go away feeling great. You ever notice that? You don't go away with buyer's remorse wondering, oh, geez, I hope I haven't made a mistake. When you've bought something from a professional, when you've been sold by a professional, you feel great about the purchase. You feel happy about it. You feel that you bought something from someone who cares about you, someone who's friendly to you. As a matter of fact, you look forward to seeing that person again, don't you? You look forward to buying from them again. Isn't that true? This is the whole essence of professional selling, and it all starts with what's going on inside. Once we have everything going on inside right, everything else outside will be just fine. Finally, number 8, read for 30 minutes a day. This is the most important recommendation I can give you. This alone will triple your income over the next 12 months. It'll at least double it over the next 6. If you don't believe me, try reading. Now, if you are going to make a profession of selling, then you owe it to yourself to have a library of the very best books that have ever been written on selling, and to have a library of the very best tapes that have ever been made on selling. If you don't have a library of books on selling, then you're really not serious about being successful in this field. Imagine if you went to a doctor and the doctor didn't have any medical books and never read anything. How confident would you feel in the doctor? Oh, I never read anything. I finished medical school 20 years ago and I've just been winging it ever since. And they go, oh, geez, you'd flee. You went to a lawyer, and the lawyer didn't have any law books. Oh, I don't have to look it up, he said. I can just figure it out. I'll just chat with somebody, see what comes to mind. You think, well, maybe I'd just as soon go to somebody who obviously was interested enough in their profession to do their research. If you will read for 20 to 30 minutes every morning before you start off, and read in your profession, and this is a profession, within 6 or 12 months, you'll have read 10 to 20 of the very best sales books that have ever been written in the world, which are the ones that are on the bookstands today. If you will do that in 12 months, you will see such a gross increase in your income that it will stagger you. You will not be able to believe it. I've had so many people come back to me and say, you know, that one recommendation was worth the entire price of the course because I've done it and I got up every day. One fellow, nice guy, average guy, never been successful in selling, got out and he started reading 30 minutes a day. His income within 3 months had doubled. He said, geez, if I could double my income within 3 months just by reading every morning, what would happen if reading half an hour? What would happen if I read an hour? So he started reading an hour. His income doubled again in the next 3 months. And now he gets up at 5:30 in the morning. He spends 2 hours reading. He's the sales manager of his business. He's making 4 times today what he's making a year and a half ago. He's making more money now than he's ever made in his life in a depressed market in a competitive industry. He said, Brian, just the reading. He said, if you're reading every day, your mind is alert, your mind is sharp, you're always picking up new ideas, you're always picking up new ways to help sell your product. He's now giving classes and instructing other people on how to sell. Yet most people in selling never read at all in their fields. Do you know that 90% of all the sales books that are sold to less than 10% of the salespeople? Most salespeople don't have any books at all. I have a friend who's a sales manager right here in this city, and he has one question which he asks when he's interviewing people for a sales position with his company. It's very simply this. He said, please tell me some of the titles of the books in your self-development library. And if the person goes, huh? He says, thank you very much. And he shakes their hand and shows them to the door. He said he knows that people who are not working on their own self-development on a regular basis will never be successful in a competitive sales industry. He just knows from 20 years of experience that they'll try and they'll do the best they can, but it's like an athlete who has no physical condition, who's trying to compete. An athlete who's fat, overweight, smoking, eating too much, and trying to compete. No matter how much his heart is in it, or her heart is in it, they're not going to be successful. And the reading is the way we train our minds to be successful in our field. Number 9, listen to tapes. Turn your car into a university on wheels. I cannot overemphasize this more. This is the most important single thing. Listen to tapes all the time. Never listen to your car radio. Never go anywhere with your car radio on. We find that you can learn more listening to tapes on a day-to-day basis. You can literally get a university education on wheels. And if you're continually feeding your mind with sales, motivation, inspiration, education, time management, personal growth, personal development. If you're continually feeding your mind with that, you are going to go ahead faster in your career than anybody else. The best salespeople that I know, and I know over 2,000-3,000 salespeople that I've given this course to, the best salespeople that I talk to, not one of them ever has their car radio on. They have their tapes playing from the time they get in. The average person that I know carries about 50 tapes in their cars. Some people have 60 and 70 individual tapes, and they're always listening to them. They're listening to them between calls. They're listening to them on the way to work. They're listening to them on holidays. They're always listening to tapes. If you're listening to radio, and I like to call radio chewing gum for the ears, which is basically what it is. If you're listening to radio, you're just simply not serious about being successful in selling. Because what is going to come out of you as a salesperson is what goes into your mind. If high-powered, professional, sophisticated material is going into your mind when you're driving, that's what's going to come out of you when you're making your calls. And number 10, these two questions are absolutely superb for rapid self-development. Ask yourself after every call, what did I do right? And then after you've analyzed the good parts of your sales call, whether it was successful or not, ask yourself, what would I do differently? And review and think about how you would handle it differently next time. Whether or not it was successful, and even if it was successful especially, say, what would I do differently? We know from our work in behavioral psychology that whatever we think about and review, we have a tendency to repeat. If we think about and review our mistakes, we have a tendency to repeat our mistakes. If we think about and review what we did right, and then think about how we would do it better or differently in the future, then that is what we'll do automatically when we go into the next sales situation. Let me give you a distinction between winners and losers in the selling profession. It's a very subtle one. Is that losers are always thinking about and talking about and vividly replaying in their imagination their previous failures. The sales calls that didn't work out, the rejections, the sales deals that fell through. Winners are constantly thinking about, talking about, and reviewing in their imagination their successes, the ones that did work out. And that's why unsuccessful people tend to become more unsuccessful, because they're taping this record under their subconscious programs and replaying it. Successful people tend to become more successful because they're thinking all the time about their successes. This is critically important. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but that's why it's so important to not get around people who are down on themselves, who are complaining or griping about their industry, because these people will drag you down like a sea anchor. Always associate with people who are positive and upbeat and confident and optimistic about what's going on with their business and with their industry, because it makes an enormous difference in how you feel. And finally, resolve to pay the price to succeed. Resolve to pay the price. I remember Hunt, the great oil billionaire, who started off at the age of 32 as a bankrupt cotton farmer in Arkansas, and by the time he died, he was worth almost $6 billion, and he made it all by himself. He was asked on a television program in the later years of his life, "Mr. Hunt, what advice can you give to other men and women who want to be successful?" And he said, in his whole lifetime, he's only found that there's two requirements for success, and anybody who practices them can be successful. He said, but most people never do. He said, requirement number one is you must decide exactly what you want in life. You must decide exactly what it is you want to do, have, or be. He said, most people never make that decision. They have only vague general ideas of what they want to accomplish. He said, the second thing is you must determine the price you're going to have to pay in order to get what you want, and then resolve to pay that price. He said, those are the two. He said, if anybody ever gets to the point where they know exactly what they want, they never get to the second point of realizing that for everything that we want in life, there's a price. And if we really want to enjoy it, we're going to have to determine to pay the price in advance. Success only comes after you've paid the price, never before. The basic law of all of human destiny is the law of sowing and reaping, which says that you reap exactly what you sow, but you must sow first. Anybody who's ever started a new sales career, as I have many times, has found that the bulk of the business you do in the second 3 months comes from the contacts you made in the first 30 days. Have you noticed that? And that it's really astonishing that that happens to be the case. But if you don't make those contacts in the first 30 days, then you don't reap the harvest of the business that you do in the next 3 months, and the next 3 months, and the next 3 months. So remember, the law of sowing and reaping, paying the price, is absolutely essential. And if you will simply take control of paying the price, which means seeing the people, talking to people, giving professional presentations, starting early and working late, then your success will take care of itself, just like the seed will grow in the soil and give you the harvest.